Welcome to The Huddle, the podcast where we get coaches of all levels talking to share their experience and vision with you. Today is another special episode, and we're heading abroad. Coach Hunar Herkay is currently working at Hungary's Vasas. With Coach Hunar, we talk about various aspects such as coaching in different basketball cultures and youth programs. Enjoy the huddle.
Hello, hi coaches. Welcome in a new episode of The Huddle. It is episode 30, so we're going abroad again. And this time we go to Hungary, more specifically to Vasas Basketball Club, where our guest coach of today is actively working right now. And that's Coach Hunar Herkay. Hi coach, how are you doing?
Hello, I am fine. Good morning for everybody.
No, great, great. Thanks for taking some time to discuss basketball coaching with us. It's a real honor because I've been following you for a while right now on Facebook, on Insta, on YouTube, on LinkedIn. You're a very active coach.
Well, thank you very much. And it is my pleasure that I can share my knowledge and experience. And thank you very much for your kind words on your Facebook page that you said that I am living and breathing basketball every day. So, you know, I'm coming from Serbia, and when I was a child, we had so much great results in Yugoslavia in basketball. And I'm coming from a community, from a small city, that we have a EuroLeague champion, top division players and coaches, and my hometown has only 15,000 people. The community maybe only 33,000 people. And you know, from the beginning, I'm used for it that everything is possible. That maybe you are coming from a small place, but you can have some dreams, you can have some higher goals. So my passion, I'm always trying to share, not just online, even in my clubs where I'm working, if my job is there that I need to educate, for example, coaches.
Okay, no, that's nice to hear. And talking about your experience, coach, maybe as an introduction, can you give us like a more view, a broader view about your resume? Where have you been coaching the last few years, for example?
Shortly I will talk. So I started to coach in Serbia. I started very early. I'm still not 40, but I am coaching almost 20 years. So half of that I was coaching in Serbia. After abroad, I worked in Hungary, Denmark, Ireland, Malta, India. So I always try to have a wide range of experience and knowledge in basketball. And I tried to have wide range in different positions because I worked like a head coach, technical director, sport director, that I'm leading scouting. I was an assistant coach in the beginning. I worked with senior basketball, with youth categories on club level, on national team level, because my thinking is that today the head coach need to be a manager. So you have a staff. Mm-hmm. And you need to have knowledge from strength and condition, from scouting, what is the job for an assistant coach, for example, because then you can use their knowledge, because these people from these special fields, they will know more from that field. But you need to have some kind of knowledge how you will using it in your yearly plan, for example. So basically this I work. And beside that, I'm very happy that I get invitation to sometimes to hold a basketball seminar or online or live. For example, in the next month, I should need to be a guest to hold a lecture, an online coaching clinic in Romania, but organizing the Romanian Basketball Federation. Mm-hmm. And in France, like in Serbia, there is a magazine for basketball coaches. And after a few months, I should need to write some interesting topic for them. So how you said, I'm always trying to be active because I think sharing knowledge is very important. It is important for basketball. And we will talk about later about EHCB, EuroLeague Head Coaches Board, Coaches Academy, because it is the same too. How is important sharing knowledge globally in basketball?
Yeah, that's correct. And it's great that you mention it because that's the purpose or that's the mission of Mike and my podcast to share knowledge within the coaches community, because we always talk about developing our players, but we have to develop ourselves as coaches as well. And if we do that, we will be able to improve our players even better. So thanks for sharing the same philosophy, Coach.
Yes, and especially improving the youth coaches, because that is the base. So if we are not giving good base, then we senior coaches have headache and we can work very hard.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. And Coach, you mentioned that you have been active in Serbia, in Hungary, in Ireland, in Denmark, if I'm correct. So I can imagine that each country has a specific basketball culture. So you will have noticed a lot of differences. How did you cope with that? How did you prepare for that? How did it work?
From the beginning, I knew that it will be very hard, that it will be not so easy like that you are coming to a different country. I stayed in Serbia coaching around 8 and 9 years in one club, and I had a great mentor. And from the first training, when I saw what kind of training he was holding just for the under 14 team, then I said for myself, what this guy knows, I want to learn everything. Before, he was a coach in first division in Yugoslavia, for example. So really, he had a wide range of knowledge. And I was able to go before to abroad, but I wanted to stay with him a long period. And I stayed with him 8 years. And maybe, who knows, maybe because I played before in Hungary too, few seasons, everybody would expect that first stage will be Hungary, but first stage was Malta. And it is much different culture, everything, after Denmark, Ireland, question what kind of tradition has the basketball. And now I will just say for you one story. In Serbia, if somebody asking you, what is your job? And you are saying a basketball coach, they will react, wow. If in West Europe, somebody asks you, what is your job? And you are saying a basketball coach. They will ask, okay, but what else you are working? So this is immediately, you can imagine that maybe you want to work like a professional, but you need to understand that maybe your players are not pro players. Maybe in youth categories, not will come everybody. In Serbia, usually if I'm saying the training is in them, then everybody is there. If I'm calling my players before 2 hours or 3 hours, look, we are starting the training before 1 hour. Everybody will come. And you need that you are understand that culture. You understand how is working their basketball. Mm-hmm. And you are trying to push what you know. But you need to watch what they know and how they are reacting. And in this way, you can be successful. You can't be successful that you learn something from your country and you want to do it exactly on 100%. It was very hard in the beginning, but I am very happy that I worked abroad in so many countries, because I want to say for you openly that that changed me a lot. That changed me a lot. And for example, now I said for you about this coming to trainings in West Europe, I learned what kind of tricks you can make that players will come every time. Because in Serbia, I said, now we have more two trainings, everybody will come. But it is not working, I think, in all West European countries, for example. And this experience is huge. I can recommend for everybody to go for basketball camps abroad, because maybe you can see the difference. But if you are working and living there, that is great. Because we coaches, we need to understand our players and we need to help for our players. Some countries were very different, some countries were very similar. And great thing, when you have possibility to go back in the country second time or third time, like that I'm working in Hungary or I worked 2 seasons in Denmark, 2 times I worked there. You know, immediately you know the culture, the reaction, the mentality, you need to understand them. And of course, you need to try to learn their language, because that is very important, I think, if you are living there. Even just to know a few words, for example, in the beginning.
And what are the tricks to bring the kids to the practice?
That I learned, for example, in West Europe, the first one is the optimism. I wanted to say for you, in Serbia, we are used for it. I am detecting the problem. And I'm saying for the player, And that is a critic, but not everybody is open for critic. And this I had first and second time in abroad, that I am doing this and I see that my players are not feeling comfortable. And I'm trying to be smart-minded. If I get a senior team abroad, first thing what I'm doing, I'm going for the training of the youth categories in that club to understand the system, to understand coaches, how speaking with the people, what is normal there, and then I get some feedback, how I need to speak with them and what I need to do. And for example, about this, I saw optimism. For example, this I learned in West Europe, how much is important that maybe I'm not happy with my players, but optimistically, I will speak with them. In some countries, I'm just speaking optimistic. In some countries where I know that critic is okay for my players, then I can be myself, that I'm saying, look, guys, we made here a problem. This we need to fix. Then it's coming, for example, today, social media about making pictures about young players, that he was player of the month, player of the week, who is the best five during the week in the club from all categories. Then kids, I want to be there. And I wanted to say for you some tricks. For example, even in senior teams, because in some countries, what I mentioned, we had two trainings, three trainings, four trainings in a week. And not coming always my players, because maybe they are working or they are semi-pro. They get some half wage like part-timer, but they have a full-time job. And they are saying, okay, today before the training is making photos. Okay, today we are taking something with the camera. They will be there because this we are putting on Facebook. We are putting on Instagram like this was our team training individually. So I wanted to say for you. And let's say, for example, in Denmark, what I learned, for example, in Serbia is not usual that during the warm-up is going music. And I will never forget coming my assistant coach and he's saying that, look, Hunor, can I turn on the music? And I'm looking on him like, to turn on the music during the warm-up? And he's saying, yes, our players likes a lot. And then I'm thinking, I'm saying, okay, let's see. And it was so good that every time I was letting them to be music during the warm-up. But this, when I worked in Serbia before 10 years ago, about this, I would not think. So these are some tricks how to get kids, for kids to give goals, to bring senior players for the youth category training. They can get autogram. So these are some tricks. And when I'm educating coaches, I'm always asking them, okay, now you are doing great things on the training. Everything is fine, match and training. But what you are doing for your team and your players beside the training? This is very important. Even if you are not a full-timer coach, for example, team buildings. I will tell you for you openly, sometimes happened with me that I get a team or a senior team or a team in youth category, that there are problems inside the team. So somebody is jealous for the other player. Maybe they are not achieved their goals in the last seasons. And then we are going for team building. I had team building in Serbia, but not so often like in West Europe. And it's a great thing. And this I must tell for you this story. This is in my biography book. This happened in Denmark. We are going that with boats. We are going with canoe. Two players, three players. And I'm saying for them, okay, now is a competition. And I was with the most experienced two of my players. And I said for them, it is not going like everybody with the canoe. You know, one side, other side, we are winning. We are the first. I am waiting the other players to come with the canoe. It was a river in Denmark in Aarhus. And happened that one canoe went to the side and hitting the side. And, you know, players are falling in the river. And in Denmark, in September, October, it is very cold. My players are saying for me, coach, jump in the water, save them. After that team building, they were speaking 3 months about this. Always were laughing. So this team building was successful. So I wanted to say for you, this I learned in West Europe, how much is important. Or in Ireland, there are very interesting team buildings. Okay, not just drinking Guinness beer, but you can learn a lot of interesting things in many countries.
Yeah, I think it's something underrated, the team buildings. It's very, very important. You can build a team on this. So you already mentioned it a little bit, but how do you start a season with a new team? What do you do?
Yes. Okay, about this, when I'm taking a new team, I'm always trying to be a coach to think what else I can do what is not basketball. I'm trying to get a lot of information, even if it is a youth team, even if it is a senior team, even if my role will be like that, I'm teaching coaches in the club. I'm trying to get a lot of information from players and coaches. If I'm taking a team, I'm always saying for myself that first training when I'm arriving, I must to know everybody's name, because that is a great thing. You are going inside, you are coming from a different culture, and you know their names. I'm scouting them like players. I want to know what are the weaknesses and what are the strengths. And imagine at first training, I'm saying, I followed you. I know that you are making here mistakes. So you have that kind of impact from the first training that somebody arrives and he is thinking, you know, very serious. This very positive effect you have at your players. So information about the players, but not just about basketball, what kind of people there are. So if I'm taking one club, I'm trying to find a coach who worked before in that country, especially if I can find my Serbian colleague, for example. And I'm saying, please speak about these players. And I want to know everything about reaction, what kind of personality, maybe what is his hobby. So these are very important things. And of course, before it, I will watch a lot of matches, what they played, which player likes to play with the other player, if I get the half team or the whole team stayed almost. So that kind of background information. Of course, I will meet with my staff, with my assistants. We will try to talk about it, how we will work during the season. So basically, this is the main thing until I not arrive on the first team training.
Okay. And coach, you have been as a head coach, also an assistant coach before. As a head coach, what do you expect from your assistant coaches during a game or during a practice?
How I see, a lot of head coaches, they are not using assistant coaches, because I'm always thinking like this. Assistant coach is not that kind of role that you are just there to be a channel between me and the team, that you will write the team list, you will organize the traveling, and you will pick up the jersey to wash and to prepare, so that kind of things. So about assistant coaches, first question is, what kind of level? So I worked in different levels. Sometimes my assistants were full-timer, part-timer, volunteer. If somebody has a full-time job or even a full-time, part-time job, and he is doing like an assistant coach job, some basketball club, you can't expect from him that he will be like you, that you have a whole day and just living it for basketball. So first you need to understand your assistant coach and where are his limits. If you can push the limits, we will push the limits. Sometimes happen that my assistant is saying for me, Hunor, I will make for you video presentation and scouting. And I'm saying, okay, very good, but I want to see before how you did. And when I see, I'm saying sometimes openly for my assistant, look, this is highlights. This is not video scouting. Okay, this we will keep, do it. We will show our players, but then I need to make video presentation with some special program, you know, to draw how reacting players, how reacting some player from the opponent team. So really to make some scout report. But I'm always offering, but if you want, you can learn from me, and after you can do. So this is the way that you need to share your knowledge with your assistants, like with your players, because if they know more from me, we will be better like a team. And that is the worst for me, if an assistant is doing something and I'm doing the other thing, and we not have communication. And this happening many times in teams. So this I'm expecting. On the training, I'm expecting that always before the training, we will talk what will happening. Sometimes I'm saying, man, in this drill, you need to look for this. Maybe I will not have time. Even on match, I'm saying for my students, please, I need to lead the to lead the team, you need to focus in this and this and say it me that that players are not hearing, because I can't focus always on this. Let's say if you have more assistants and they are, for example, writing statistic. Sometimes I'm asking about statistic, what maybe people not like so much to count. For example, I like to count my player, how much is out in one-on-one defense. Because if I have a player that during the match 20 times going out one-on-one and I get that kind of feedback and I'm thinking maybe he's a good offensive player, but he should not need to stay on the court. So always to get some special job for what I'm not able to do. But if I have an assistant that he's a volunteer, he's a part-timer and not have so much time, then I can't give so many things for him, you know. And I think it's good if you have a supervisor. I will talk about why is good supervisor in the basketball topic later. I'm always supervising my assistants, not because that that is an army, you know, but I will tell you one story what happened with me abroad. First contract, first senior team. And I had some great connection with the federation, with some officials, and first senior match. And my assistant giving the list with the players. And there are officials asking me, Hunor, coach, please give the starting five. And I'm going there and they are joking with me. You know, in this country, we are drawing triangles. And you know, in Serbia, when somebody is joking with you, you are joking too. And I'm saying, okay, not a problem. Anyway, I would draw rectangle because we are drawing rectangles for starting five in score sheet in Serbia. He's laughing too. Starting the match, first substitution, my player is sitting down. The referee is going to the official table. The referee is coming to me and they are saying, Hunor, your player is not able to go on the court. And I'm looking for that official and he's laughing on me. And I'm saying, man, first you are saying to draw triangle. Then you are not letting me, that my player to go inside. What is this? And the referee is saying, your assistant was not writing this player name on the list. So he's not able to play. This happened with me once during my career. Imagine if this happening with you with an important match. So I like always to control my assistants because how I mentioned for you before, a head coach need to be a manager. And I think I need to control the coach for strength and condition, for the assistant coach. If we have some specialized people for psychologic, you know, this is very important that you know what is happening with your team and with your players.
I know the feeling about always checking the score sheet. Especially we changed from the paper to the PC or to the tablet now. And always, I never trust someone. I'm always counting and watching because this is the worst thing you can have as a coach. You say, okay, it's because for the player, it's not good, but as a coach also you have the responsibility for your player. So for me, it's always I'm counting and I'm seeing, okay, everybody is on this. It's the right number also, because this is also a problem if you don't have the right number. Yeah. I had this last week. Thursday we had a game and I go to the paper, I check it, and one guy don't have his number. He has the wrong number. But for some people, for some players, it's in their head. They need to play with that number.
Yes, yes.
So it's so. It shouldn't be like that. But I love the control also.
Then we are thinking the same.
Nice. Thanks for sharing that story, coaches. Hunor. You have also been an active youth coach, working with I think under 10, under 12, and under 14 teams. If you look at your countries, saying Serbia and Hungary, what are the aspects that youth coaches work very hard on with those youth teams?
Well, in this category, there are not so much differences. If we are looking countries, the much bigger differences will be under 16, under 18. You know that in Europe, we have A division, B division, and even C division, European Championship for small countries. Imagine if one national team from C division would play against A division under 16, under 18. That would be that kind of match. Better not to look, you know. Yeah. But I wanted to say for you, again, in that country, what is normal? For example, in Serbia, for me, it's normal that senior basketball playing players who are 16, 17, 18, and after Professor Nenad Trunic and after many coaches and professors who I'm following, science is saying that a kid who is around 15 years old, he has the 70% of maximum strength. So by science, a 15 years old player, by strength and physical condition, he's ready to play senior basketball. If he is not ready to play basketball, then the fault of the coaches who not prepare technically, tactically, and for demands in senior basketball. Under 10, under 12, under 14. I will say the differences between Serbia and Hungary, how I see. In Hungary, you know that now, for example, in women basketball, Sopron won the EuroLeague. I'm not surprised for it, and I'm very happy of this. But if you are following the Hungarian women basketball, you can see that in the past few years, they get some medals in youth categories. So this means that the work is going good on that level. In Hungary, maybe, I will not say the number, but maybe in the last 10 years or last 15 years, the Basketball Federation get a plan and trying to push that physical preparation is very important. How I see under 10, under 12, under 14 in Hungary focusing a lot in physical preparation, and teams like to play a lot full court defense. I have many colleagues from Serbia. When they are going to Hungary and playing youth team matches, they are always saying for me, man, what kind of full court defense playing these guys? Yes, but meanwhile, not happening what is happening in Serbia. In Serbia, because we are thinking that a player who is 22, 23, for us is not a young player, that need to be a finished player. If you are following Partizan Belgrade, Bogdan Bogdanovic with age 17, 18, he was a main player in Europe. When I was a young player and young coach, I love to follow Milenko Tepic. Milenko Tepic, he didn't turn 16. He was the first point guard of Vojvodina. Vojvodina, the club, was the fourth best club in that time in Serbia after Partizan, Zvezda and Hemofarm. So everything is possible. If you want to get a player who is 16, 17, can play a senior basketball, you need to show what are the demands of senior basketball. Many youth coaches are going just for the result, but we need to make players. Basketball is a team sport, but at the end of youth categories is the question, how many players we are giving for senior basketball? So we need to prepare them individually. And in under 14, starting to make screens, but it will happen that under 12 players will be on the under 14 training. Even in some countries, they are not letting that under 12 players to play with under 14. You need to show them screen two on that under 14 training, because you need to prepare that something you are doing 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and then you have time. Many times in some countries, I get senior players and I'm saying for them immediately, man, we need to go back for under 14 or under 12, because something you not learned. We must to go back. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, in Hungary, I watched one under 14 match. The two best teams played, almost the two best teams or two better teams played. Mm-hmm. They were doing a lot of screen, but every screen was false because the timing was bad. Or the player with the ball not using the screen on the right time, or the screener moving inside or outside faster or slower, and the coaches are not stopping and not correcting. Then you are just running something, but you are not teaching. But two-on-two with screen, defense and offense, this is one of the key factors for senior basketball. If you are not focusing, if you are not expert, or if you're not a supervisor who will detect the problem, you are not working on this. It is impossible to play with under 16, under 18 players set on senior level. Sometimes in top division, in Ireland, for example, I had under 18 player in the starting five. Sometimes I had two of them. Of course, they were looking for me like you are coming from Mars. But when the fans, they saw that they are playing so good defense and they are playing smart. People after when I was not put two under 18 players in starting five, fans started to speak about it. Why the coach not putting them? They are young, but they are good. But in the beginning, they said like, what doing this guy? The under 18 player, how can play top division basketball in that country? So about this need to focus. And in Serbia, we are trying to put little tactic. So until under 14, everybody is doing the same. There are no position, but small tactic we need to put. Because if we will not put, this will happen in what I said, I'm the senior coach and I get some players, mm-hmm. they not need to defend one-on-one, they not need to read two-on-two, to play offense, to play defense. So like a youth coach should need to be an expert, what are the demands of senior basketball? And I'm so sorry when I see under 16, under 18 teams, some teams are playing 35 minutes, 40 minutes zone, but not once, whole the season. Mm. Or they are playing full court defense, whole the season. Okay, if somebody asking, when developing the players on the best way, not the best way, like the most, if you are playing fast break and if you are playing full court defense, why? Because you need fast reaction and good decision. Mm-hmm. But in senior basketball, I'm asking you, how many minutes we are playing zone defense? How many we are playing full court defense? Not so lot. Maybe sometimes if you play against some kind of team that we are very weak on some position or we are very strong. But that is the thing that we need to prepare our players as soon as possible to be useful for the head coach. So these big two differences I see in Hungary and in Serbia. But I think that in Hungary, basketball improved a lot. In the last 10 years, the government are giving a lot of funds for five sports. Basketball is one of the five sports. Clubs can get better financial backgrounds. Here in Hungary, for me, it's normal that under 10, under 12 players are playing with brand new molten balls. In Serbia, everybody bringing his ball. So, you have great conditions. And even you not have enough ball, you need to be the fastest on the training to get a ball. But this is again interesting thing. Who will be a bigger fighter? Who will respect more to get some conditions, you know? And in Hungary, because of this financial background, I think it's great. I see that under 12, under 14 teams are going often to abroad. But there is one bad thing. If from Hungary, with an under 12, under 14 team, you are going to Spain. When they are under 18, you need to go to America, to the United States of America. So need to be a little careful what you are giving in this age, because like a parent, I gave you something, you need to give always something more.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the tactics you talk about to U14, because of it's most of the time it's a big discussion point. What tactics can you do, and what do you mean with we put some tactics? You put some plays, you put the ball screen, or what do you do?
Yes. So for example, in Hungary, when I was in Jászberény, that happened before 3 or 4 years ago, I watched the men super league team, and I watched all the home matches and away matches too. I found only one local Hungarian player in men Super League, only one. When he did the offensive rebound, he was so brave to score, not to go out. All other players, after the offensive rebound, going out. Mm-hmm. Here I'm saying why. Because like you are a guard, you not need offensive rebound. You not need to finish like a center, you know, and they are not used for it. In my opinion, under 12, I said for you, there are no position. So everybody gets the same after going position. But please, we can practice that the guard want to get the ball on the low post, and we will show just that I'm going right side or left side with my back, you know. But this means a lot for this player, that he is encouraged, that yes, I'm a guard, but I'm able to receive the ball on the low post. And of course, in senior basketball, if I have some a taller guard, I like that. We have a mismatch. We not need some kind of attack. This is first thing, for example. This is, again, some kind of a tactic, you know. But let's speak about screen. A screen, we need to explain timing. We need to explain what we want with the screen. Many clubs where I've heard and I need to educate the good coaches, I'm asking, what you want to get with the screen? This you need to say for your players. Do you want to get two-on-one situation? Do you want to get that they are playing switch and they you get mismatch? You get mismatch. How you will punish? In under 14, we can explain. If there is a taller guy and you are a guard, you are going more back and you are playing one-on-one. You can say for that if you started to work even with guards, not just with tall players, to receive the ball on the low post, there is a mismatch, you are taller, go down, get the ball on the low post and finish. This is very small tactic, but we are starting. We are not on pressure that we need to make good. This we need to make good at under 16. But if we are not doing this, man, you are expecting that after 3 weeks, under 16, I'm showing it if you're going. No, these are months. These are years. This is, for example, small tactic. Let's speak about bringing up the ball. My question, how you will bring up the ball if the defender is taller or shorter or faster or slower or he's playing passive defense or he's playing very aggressive? Mm-hmm. What kind of technique you will use? Let's say, for example, tactic. When I see that an under 14 coach is using crossover on his training, I have a headache. Please, under 10, under 12, we have crossover. Come on, use it. But with crossover, not protecting the ball, then going dribble between your legs, behind your back, two times, three times. So we not have so many time to play with these kids. And you know, if we are not making a senior player until they are finishing the secondary school, how they want to have trainings 5 times, 10 times, they are still not pro players, but they need to decide university or senior team. In Serbia, in that club where I worked 8 and 9 years, we had senior players with 16, 17. We planned that on the third and on the fourth year in the secondary school, we can count on them 2 years. After going to university, they will decide they want to play on higher level or no. So these are very important things, and there are a lot of small tactics. But the coach need to be an expert for that kind of thing, or you must have a supervisor, a technical director, or a coach who helps you, who will detect the problem and who will say for you small things. Many times I have experience that this coach not likes because they think you are attacking them because maybe they not know this, or I get back the answer. This is so much you are going in the details. You not know to do this in this age group. But when you will, because in basketball, there are so many things what we should need to give our players to understand the demand of senior basketball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something difficult. That's the discussion point. Where do you start with... Maybe the example of screening. When do you start it? Because it's true, when you start screening... only at 18, but you want a player at 18 in the senior level, he doesn't know anything. So it's yeah. Difficult. You always have to see. And I think the most important thing is what you say, the coach needs to be an expert in it, or someone needs to be the expert. So, okay, you can bring the U14, you can do the screening, maybe only on practice and not in the game. Maybe it's possible, but they have to know why they have to do it and how they have to do it, and not like you give the example of not using the screen, roll too fast, or roll. Why do we do this? If they don't know it, okay, they don't learn it. So that you have the problem. So this is a very important thing for all the coaches. You can implement some things from senior basketball, but do it wisely and think about why we do this.
Yes, and very important, just to clear. First, you need to teach to play one-on-one. Mm-hmm. That is why under 10, under 8, under 12, we have 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. Come on, let's teach them to play one-on-one. And when they play one-on-one, when they know to play one-on-one, then we are going for two-on-two. That is, we need to push a lot. But I saw bad examples too. Some coaches are starting screens two-on-two that they not know to play one-on-one. So I mean, this is a long story to talk about it. Sometimes I'm making a whole yearly plan for all age categories in some club. What are the main points? What we need to follow? Even sometimes I have that kind of roles in the clubs. So you need to know the steps. You need to be an expert. What I need to teach and after when is coming and approximately in which age group I need to teach. And you need to use for that country. Because maybe basketball is on a higher level or a lower level, that kind of program, how is possible to give for our young players?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's correct. And coach, heading to a new topic, because we were talking about youth development, when we asked you to talk about a specific basketball topic, you said, I wanted to talk about preparing and developing players on position one. Yeah. Apparently, you have prepared something for us, and maybe for the information of the guys who are listening on Spotify, in a few moments we will share our screen because Coach Hunor has prepared some slides with some diagrams of drills. So if you are in the possibility, you can always check it afterwards on Facebook or on YouTube.
Yes, and I would first talk and after you can share because I prepared something too. Okay, so we speak about it, how is important to be an expert. My thing is that, and I'm thinking always that we need to look the actual value of our players. Mm-hmm. And there are many things what is not measurable. And what is not measurable, we must to have an expert eye. That is why it's good for me to have always a supervisor. Even me, if I'm a senior head coach, I like to have a supervisor. More eyes see more things, even if that person has different knowledge or different experience from me. If you are leading, for example, one training, you can't see everything because you are leading the training. And my experience is that what I said for a lot of coaches, not like when there is a supervisor, but I think, especially today, need to be open for the critic. That expert will do your job. He will detect some problems. So he is helping you. He is giving you some kind of idea for the solution. So everybody should need to have a supervisor, I think. About point guard, this is a very complex and very sensitive position. This is like position five. Here is no improvisation. Here again, about what I'm talking, this must to work with youth categories. If you are not working with youth categories, then is happening what is happening with me usually. Okay, I have a young or an experienced point guard, and let's do these drills. Let's do these practices. Let try to push my knowledge. I was a point guard before too. That is why I like mostly this position. And point guard is our second hand. The point guard is representing us. That is why I'm always try to have great point guards because they will make a decision. They must to learn it that they have responsibility to make decision. It is not like this that I'm calling a figure or a set and just giving the pass. No, I need to decide. I need to see the mismatch. I need to see where is the gap. For example, there is, for example, a great Yugoslavian player, Krešimir Ćosić. He said that offense is that we are finding the gap. And this is it. So our point guard must to be like a coach. Let's say, for example, Saša Đorđević. About Saša Đorđević, the great coach, great former coach, Božidar Majković said that Saša Đorđević first became a coach and then he became a good player. Why? Because these players are working individually on themselves. And if you are becoming on your career that you are like your coach, you will be first a coach and you will be later a great player. So point guards, I can say, for example, main characteristics are high level understanding to play, innovative creativity, using both hands equally, technical, tactical knowledge and skills, efficient solving solutions of one-on-one and two-on-two, understanding play in all positions, determination and timing in play, automatism and applying technique in well-known and uncooked situations. Everything what I said, this we need to do in youth categories. We have time. Nobody is pushing in youth category to make a result, but we make senior players. That is how we are representing us. Many times when I'm talking with coaches, they are saying for me, I was first, I was fifth, I was third in under 40. My question, okay, say me the names where are playing now in your top division, these players. How many national players you gave for senior team, for the youth national teams? These are very important things. For me, point guard is much more than a basketball player. He needs to be a leader. At point guard, must to be a quickness, mental preparation. At point guard, what kind of basketball skills we are looking? Ball handling, passing, shooting, on and off ball defense, be ready to defend minimum two positions. What is very important, and this we are teaching in youth category. Why need to defend at least two positions? There will be a mismatch. So if I have a short point guard, then there is maybe always a mismatch. There is a screen, there is switch. I need to be able sometimes to defend a few seconds or a post player or a wing player. This is a forward player that is very important. This we need to practice during our youth development. We have time. Nobody is pressing us that you need to have a result. Then important athletic abilities, size, quickness, agility, psychological abilities, leadership skill. And now what is very important, and not speak about it, social skills. For example, to be unselfish. If I have a selfish point guard, I will have a great headache, big headache. So about this, we need to work on it, how we will make our point guard to be unselfish. And that point guard, it's important to say that playmakers generate their own team behavior and the spectacle through creating free and improvised play endings. Very important, innovative creativity. That the most influence for innovative creativity we have from age from 6 until 10 and from 10 until 18, we can have now the most biggest influence for their mechanism and for their personality. This is very important, I think. And also important, reading and understanding of the game. Where, why to apply certain skills. We need to give knowledge. Now, this is tactical teaching what I said for you. We need to give for them how you are playing against a shorter, faster player, weaker, stronger, faster, slower, how you are defending somebody who is a good shooter or going for good drive. These situations we should need to put always on our training. At high-level point guards, we have high-level on focus, concentration, and ability control of the play. And now I wanted to say for this very important, how I'm watching a lot of seminars and athletic seminars. I am waiting when will be that in basketball that we are starting to talk about the compensation. What kind of compensation? I will say later now what kind of skills and fields should need to have a top point guard. But what is happening if missing one field? What we need to push more to compensate, uh-huh, and make a good senior player. Let's say, for example, Dejan Bodiroga. Everybody knows Dejan Bodiroga. Dejan Bodiroga, lack of speed, lack of explosive strength. In Serbia, now I not remember, maybe Jeko Bradović or Duda Ivković said, now I not remember for this who said, that Dejan Bodiroga was maybe the slowest player ever in the national team in Yugoslavia, Serbia, Montenegro. And you remember 1996, Olympic Games, Carmelo Anthony, you know, jumping. You remember Indianapolis 2002. This is like psychological, I'm strong, give me the ball, I will finish. For example, Dejan Bodiroga was missing some fields, but he became a top player and he was able to play point guard with that height. I like always tall point guards, like before Antoine Rigaudot, for example, I Marcelo Prochet in that time, Kinder Bologna. And I remember when Vlade Divac arrived to NBA, they started to speak about it, coming somebody from the Balkan. He's playing post, but he's a good passer. Sometimes in fast break, he's able to make quick pass. Now look, Nikola Jokic, what he's playing, a post or a point guard? But this is a very important thing in Serbian basketball, that until under 14, everybody do everything. So if you have a tall player, you must to do that kind of same ball handling and everything what doing the really short talented guys. That is the way how it's possible to get a tall point guard later. I must to tell for you a story in Serbia. We had a problem with my mentor in our senior team that we had only one point guard. We were thinking that we would bring somebody, but he wanted to push another point guard. And he's saying for me, look, this player, he's playing on position four. He is reading good the situation. This player will be a point guard. I was just looking, how will be a point guard? After 6 months, this player was always invited in the national youth team in Serbia between the best 25, between the best 20. After 6 months, this player get invitation in the best 12 because with that height played on point guard. And this is for everybody is interesting. And yes, that is what I'm saying, not just to look quickness that the point guard need to be like, you know, American point guards, like they are so fast. The reading the situation, this is very important. It is your second hand on the court. So about this, Dejan Podiroga, I think this would be very interesting compensation, what we need to teach for our players in different position that they can still be a top player. I think that is very important.
Yeah, of course. If you see now EuroLeague in Barcelona, Calates is also not the quickest, I think. He's quick, but not the quickest. He's not the best shooter. But
he's great.
Great. So this is something very important. The compensation you have to make you better in the other things. And yes, not only look to the strengths, what needs to be the best point guard, because it's a utopy, I think. And I like Calates a lot. If you see him playing, this is amazing.
And for example, Miloš Teodosic. Teodosic, too. He's not so fast, but his passes, that is great. That is reading the situation. That is something. Something you know great.
Just one more thing. I think the most important thing you said about the thing that a guard or maybe even all players need to have is reading the situation, and especially the guard, reading what situation we have, reading the mismatches. Okay, at this moment, because I think a coach can't be telling all the time, okay, you have to play this, and watch this. No. Yeah, the guard needs to feel, okay, in this situation, this guy is hot. Okay, we're going to play for this guy. Okay, yeah. When it's finished, okay, we need to search inside. So for me, it's always, I do also a senior team, and I always start my plays like for one guy for shooting because he's an amazing shooter. And then I go inside, and then I go for the guard for the pick and roll over the pick and dive. But this I want in the future that my guard will feel it by himself. Okay, that he comes to me and he says, okay, coach, today, first of all, we're gonna do this, or can we search this guy? Can we do this? And I think that's the most important thing you said. They have to read the game very, very, very well.
Yes, and just to say, for example, happened with me in Ireland. I get an American player. The player played on position two, a combo guard. And I said that now in Ireland, you will be playing position four, two. And the player said for me the beginning, I never played. And that team was fighting against the relegation. Last season, on the last match, they get that they will stay in the league. And when I arrived, half season, we were fighting that we will go into playoff or no, not just to stay in the league. It was the same team. We changed it just only one foreigner, you know. And we played all the time that if a guard defending this tall guard, you know, then you are playing down like a post player, you know. Mm-hmm. If a post player defending you, then you are playing out. And believe me, most of the points we get on this. And this is what I said. Imagine when you have a tall point guard, Partizan Belgrade, they played point guard in the time, Duško Vujošević with Petar Božić. He's 2 meter, 5 centimeter. Even me too, I like tall point guards because I can use them in a lot of things, in a lot of. Something great. And about this, you should need in youth categories to work with the tall players because if he has reading, he can be a good point guard. Point guard is not just that who is bringing up the ball. In Malta, I had that in that season where I worked, the second or the third point guard was the first point guard because of the reading. He was not able to bring up the ball on pressure, so other player was bring up the ball, he was received the ball, and he is looking the mismatch. He is looking with what kind of figure we will play. He is looking who will play 2-on-2 or 1-on-1. I think this is very important, not just in point guard, playmaker. Playmaker is for me not just point guard. A post player can be a playmaker. Maybe I want to receive the ball because I'm thinking like that the defender is weaker than me. So all the 5 players should need to be a playmaker. Where is the gap? Where is the gap? Not that what kind of figure or what kind of set we will play in.
Interesting.
And then let's go back. So if we know the technical details which ensure precise timing in any phase of play, then we are experts. If we not know this, we need a supervisor. We need to have a supervisor. And how I said before, very important to estimate the total actual value of the player. What is not measurable? For this, we need to have an expert eye. If we not have an expert eye, again, we have a supervisor or somebody who's helping us. And first, we need to make selection players of position playmakers. After, we need to give practices and to develop specific abilities. What is the criteria of the selection? First, for me, we need to speak about anthropological skills, anthropological fields. The first anthropological field would be body measure. But this is not the most important. Now can be a question, which point guard to pick? A tall point guard or that point guard who has good technical and tactical skill abilities? Choose the last one, who have technical, tactical basketball skills because he will read in the situation. So this is what we said with Bodiroga. With Bodiroga, maybe you not have that athletic abilities to play a point guard, still possible to be a top-level player. But in other fields, you need to be very good. Okay. Next one is motor characteristics and physical preparation. We need to have starting acceleration, agility or ability for quickly and accurately change direction in small plays, high level of coordination. In basketball, existing more than 1,000 movements. When we are working in youth categories, we should need to know a lot of movements and this to put in our training. Because like on this way, we'll adapt our players for senior basketball. Mm-hmm. Science is saying that in position one, in the EuroLeague, because you are mentioning always EuroLeague, players are running between 6.5 and 9 kilometers. So we can speak about it, that basketball is anaerobic sport. Mm-hmm. But very important is the players' aerobic endurance. And aerobic endurance is very important at the recovery too. The third field is psychological stability. Our playmakers need to have emotional stability. Our point guards must to be consistent in the game, to be leader on the court, to be authority for players. All this need to be on trainings, not just on matches. And the fourth one is basketball skills. There can be a list so long. Let's say what I'm looking at basketball skills. When I have a point guard, I'm expecting first that he is able to stop the first pass. He should need to be fast in transition, to stop driving the middle, to be good in defense one-on-one, to be good in covering and helping. So there are a lot of things. And there is, for example, one problem in youth category. I see a lot of coaches are using zigzag drills. But my question, how many times we have zigzag in a basketball game? There are screens. When we are using screens, there is no zigzag. So we should need, this will be on my drills too that you can see, it will be not just zigzag, it will be like that I'm using a screen or I get the pressure, I need to dribble the ball back and then change my hand. So again, what is the demands? Not just senior basketball, basketball. So not just to do zigzag without defense on your trainings. That kind of demands you need to put in youth categories. What kind of demands existing in senior basketball? in youth categories, we are not going for ISO. We are preparing our young players as soon as possible to be useful for our head coach in the senior team. Your drills must to be compatibility with your goal. If your drill not have compatibility with your with your goal, you are doing a bad job. And this is it. So about this, you need to plan and need to be serious. Let's see now, offensive point guards from Balkan. Miloš Teodosić, Dražen Petrović, Aleksandar Djordjević. But a point guard must to be a good, great defender. Gary Payton. How many times Gary Payton was stealing the ball even from Michael Jordan? So if you have a point guard, you need to develop to play pressure because one point guard is defending the other point guard. If I'm not making pressure with the ball, that point guard can do what the coach planned. And we want always opposite. We want that to happen, but the coach not want to happening something opposite. They need to find some idol. This I learned in West Europe. Show them a player. Maybe that player saying the same like you, like a coach. But maybe the player will accept more before than from you, because that is a great player. He's a star. This is again maybe a trick. This I'm using. This I learned in West Europe, for example. This I not saw before in Serbia. On the match, we can expect just what we are doing on the training. So if you are not doing that kind of drills what I'm showing, if you are not doing that thing what I'm speaking, how you are expecting that he, like a point guard, can solve? It's not enough just that on the match I'm saying. You need to copy the situation. If you have an expert eye, you remember, next trainings, I get in the same situation, and now let's do it. For example, not just to speak about point guard, if I have a problem that my team usually in the last 2 minutes is falling down, that is the result pressure, then I'm doing that kind of training that the intensity is so big that they are tired, like on that match. And now situation, now is coming the 2 minutes and we practice something what we want in the last 2 minutes, or we are not able to score when there is a blob or slope, you know, 5 seconds, 6 seconds. You need to practice with the point guard too. You need to practice situation, what you are expecting from this. And about intensity, how I am controlling coaches in some clubs, my problem is that I like to ask how many trainings you had at the youth category where the intensity has the same intensity like on the match, or you even have more. Sometimes they are saying, why you want more? Why? Because if they are doing with a more intensity like on a match, the whole training, they will be more successful during the match. And that is for example, you will have less injury. Because if you have trainings with less intensity on the match, every match is a big pressure for your body because you are not used for it. Because you are doing 5 trainings, 6 trainings, 2, 3 trainings, I don't know how many trainings, but not on that intensity. And coming to the match and injury, ankle, I don't know what. So this is very important. In some clubs, I work with some systems that we are monitoring the players. And with these systems, I like that I can show for the coach, man, your intensity is here, black and white. Please, next time, with this drill, or the drill bad, or the drill is good and planned everything good, but you need to make it faster. Or this is a drill for 6 people, not for 12 or 13 or 14. Please, with other 7 and 8 players beside the court, you need to do something different to be good to intensity. This is very important. There are a lot of drills for point guards. Important to have some drills with 2 balls that you can. With point guards, I mentioned defense, for example, but we need to play against pressure. That is why in many trainings, need to practice 1-on-2 and 1-on-3. So on the trainings, our point guards need to use for it that I have 2 defenders, I have 3 defenders. Even if I'm practicing full court defense, if somebody wants to play full court defense against me, I'm putting 6 or 7 defenders. And when they are able to make it, this is again a trick. Why? I am saying for them before the match, if you manage with 7 defenders, you will manage like this with 5 players. Of course, if I have 10 or 12 players, question the defense on what kind of level because not maybe the best players will play defense. But this again, trick psychological. And yes, this is, let's say, you have other five misplaying defense who are weaker than your starting five. You are putting 6-10-7 defender to be more harder for them. So basically, this would be about point guard. And now I would love to speak about little the drills shortly. I think I gave a lot of information about point guard, but I think that this is to work with position from under 16. This is a must. Without individual work is no senior basketball. Mm-hmm. You know Dražen Petrović, how much he worked on himself. There is a big story. Dražen Petrović is playing for Real Madrid. He's arriving to attend to the hotel, going to the reception, saying, good morning. Where is the gym where I can practice? He was a superstar, but he knows how many he needs to practice. So individual work on position, this is a must. And we can't play basketball without point guard and without post, but without classic 2, 3, and 4, 2. So in every position, the science today can say what need this player. So about this, everybody must work in youth categories.
Mm. No, that's correct, coach. That's correct. Maybe it's time, Mike. I want to share my screen, but you have to enable it. Maybe you should click on my name. I don't know.
And then allow to. Oh wait, make host. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Up. Let's share my screen. Normally, you should see the PowerPoint presentation, correct?
Yes, I see. Yes, okay. Then you can start. So first diagram, you can see, for example, you will start the dribbling with right hand. Maybe you can touch the cone or not catching the cone, protecting the ball. You are making one dribble back and try to make a changing hand in V letter back, because this is the way how you can protect the ball. In many countries, I saw that after changing the hand, happening nothing, but after changing the hand, you need to close the player with your elbow, with your leg. That is very important. And this we need to start in youth categories. Anyway, our players will not use for it. So you are making one dribble back, changing your hand. You are doing it in every cone that you are dribbling forward, then stopping, protecting the ball, one dribble back, changing your hand or between your legs or crossover V letter. And the finish can be a layup, shooting from 5 meters, a fake shot, and the shot, some kind of different layup, how you wish. And if you are doing that kind of drills, not to happen that you are just saying what to do, because then your players will not make decisions. Say for your players, now it's your fantasy. I showed for you 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, different way how you can finish. Now finish how you want. And after, you need to make some cognitive practices, you know, like, I don't know, you are there or the assistant is there. If I'm showing this hand or that hand, you have this finish. So you need to prepare your point guards to read the situation. Maybe you are putting a defender, I don't know. If the defender going out, I'm going for a drive. If the defender is a little far from me, I'm shooting. I don't know, putting there a post player. What is the reaction? I need to give the ball on good timing. So from that drill, you can make a lot of drill and always need to have good demands. And my opinion, every training should need to have a challenge for the player. If your players are not challenging, your players maybe will be not so happy and maybe not will not have that attitude like, I want to be a basketball player. We can go on the next diagram.
Yes. Oh, there yes. You go.
The second one. So we are making a pass to the coach. We are going with maximum speed. I forgot in the first diagram to say that everything you need to do in basketball stance. Here too, after the running, when you are receiving the ball, you need to be in very low basketball stance, immediately explosively to make a dribble with left hand. And until you are not shooting, you need to be in short basketball stance. And every time when you're arriving to the cone, you need to be even in a lower basketball stance. In the middle, you are changing your stance how you wish. And again, the finish on the other side is the same. Dribbling the ball forward, one dribble back, and in V letter, dribble between your legs or crossover. Here can be, again, a lot of finishes, different finishes. On the other side, you can put what you want. Maybe you can put that you are changing, you are going from offense to defense, what is very important. Maybe you are finishing, but immediately from the shot, one player, the ball is going from the baseline on the other hoop, or you are rebounding your ball and giving the pass for one player and playing one-on-one. So in every drill, I'm suggesting always to be backward too, and always important in basketball that from offense, we are going very fast back to defense. We can go on the third diagram.
Yeah.
Third diagram, for example, this is very interesting. I wanted this to say for you in the beginning, just I forget. I worked in Serbia. We had 5 trainings, 10 trainings. I'm going to Malta, Ireland, Denmark. I have with senior teams 2 trainings, 3 trainings, 4 trainings. How I will put all the things in 2, 3, and 4 trainings? This I learned there, that you need to put different things. For example, you can put more thing in warm-up, something I want to work in the main part, but I'm putting in the warm-up, and then I have time everything to teach. For example, here I will do preventive practice in the beginning. I'm doing always with my teams every second week or every third week some kind of preventive trainings, 30 minutes of the team training. But if you not have time for preventive drills, then you can do this. You can see player one, he has a ball, and you are saying that on that half circle, jump with one leg. On the right side, left side, right, left. So you are making some kind of preventive drill. After you can make on 2 legs. Why is important to make a lot of preventive things jumping on 1 leg? Because in basketball, maybe 92-93%, this I found in some book, we are doing everything on 1 leg. So we need to use for it. And after when I finish these preventive jumps and arrive to the first cone, after I can change my hand only once, I can do what I want. And let's say at the beginning can be hesitation. Hesitation is very important at point guard. You know that you are stopping and hesitating. And again, you have some different finishes. You can go for the next one, the fourth diagram. Yes. Now we have this. Now we will do changing hand twice. Every point guard should need to connect changing hands, between legs, behind your back. You have a lot of options and then different finishes. For me, changing the hand behind your back is maybe one of the most important at point guard. I remember, for example, Stefan Marković in Serbian national team. I enjoyed to watch him, how he was using this against efficient against players. We can go on the fifth diagram. Here is, for example, player one is going with maximum speed with left layup. Player two is running immediately when player one is going for a drive. Player two makes the rebound and playing one-on-one. You can see the 2 cones. There should need to be a corridor between them. Now we are helping for our point guard to play defense in the corridor because this player can't go out from the corridor. So we need to stop the player. We need to be front of the ball. We need to make pressure. We need to use our players. So try to give that kind of demands, that kind of tricks in your drills that the point guards are able to play defense long time. Let's say that they are going on the half court, maybe from half they can go out from the corridor, or maybe from half there is a coach on the wing position. You can make a pass, then you are teaching the point guard what will be the reaction after the pass. So from this drill, you can make a lot of drills. Then diagram 6. Now, for example, it is very interesting. You are making a pass for player 2. And very important that you need to teach your players that when I'm putting my hand at the shot, it's not existing or I'm left-handed or right-handed. Mm-hmm. If the player is a right-handed shooter, you should need to put opposite hand, your left hand. If the player is left-handed shooter, you need to put your right hand. Anyway, he will beating you. Player two received the ball. He's making the pass to the coach at the center. Then he's moving 1/3, 2/3. Coach is giving the pass for player three. Then player one is moving in the lane. And when player three is going for a drive with left hand, then player one should need to stop him and they are playing one-on-one. Of course, when they finish, it can be one-on-one on the other side, not just to be so statistic this drill. Yeah. Next one?
Yes.
Next one. This is a very nice drill. This, if you want, later I can draw, for example, on tactic table. Player one will make a dribble. This is one of my favorite drill. Here is pressure, here is everything. So player one will dribble the ball. Maybe he can touch a cone between one and two defender, or maybe they are giving five and they are starting. They are making trap on him. And player five will decide that from the low post, when he will go to the high post or middle of the free throw line. And player one, during the pressure, need to make a good pass in good timing. When player five receives the ball, player one will move in the middle. Player five need to attack the hoop or just to turn that he wants to play one-on-one. He is making a pass out. And player one dribbling the ball with left hand to the defender three and four. Again, defender three and four making a trap on him. Player five from up will move down, but now on the opposite, low post. And again, pressure on the point guard. Again, player five will move from low post up. And again, on good timing, you need to give back the ball for player five. After, again, player one will move in the middle. Player five is giving back the ball. And now great opportunity to play mismatch. That the point guard is playing mismatch against the point guard, against the post player. And great opportunity that the post player trying to defend the point guard. Of course, this we did two times. If you want, we can do four times. You can do six times, depending how many players you have and are you on an individual training or are you on a team training?
This one, I think it's really interesting. Because I had, I still have a lot of problems with my my point guards or even with my forwards who are getting into the trap or the high hedge on the ball screen.
Yes.
And sometimes it's difficult to do it in a two-on-two situation.
Yes.
But I think this one is a really good one because you have to escape from this and then make the good pass. So yes. I think this, I'm going to try on practice and I really like the mismatch at the end.
Yes, and if you want, I can send even the video link because this is from college basketball. This I saw from one college coach. So we need to look a lot of drills and we will see what we will use or we will change something. That he is showing that the coach is the five. But I am doing always with the post player because that is for me, you know, more better. And you had, if you have problem with the hedge, that you need to practice. You are not doing trap, you are doing hedge. And now you need to make pass good timing. And many times we have problem that the guards not know to make pass for the post player. And believe me, this drill is very hard. This, when I'm trying with my teams, many times the point guards making often bad passes because here is pressure, here is timing. And you know, after I'm putting a defender on the player five, imagine how it's hard then. You have a pressure and the defender is on player five. How we receive the player five? And now is coming the expert that you need to show that player five, how we receive the ball up. Because then if you have a defender, you can't go just up.
Yeah, good one. Really right. Good.
Yes.
So next diagram. Next diagram, okay. You see player one will dribble the ball with left hand. Player two is running when player one is starting. Again, you have a situation that you need to stop the player. And you are teaching your offensive player two to finish with the weaker hand. I think it's very interesting, very basic. Then let's see the next one. It will be something similar, like diagram nine. Again, you have the same. You are dribbling with left hand. Now player two is running on a different way. And again, you need to stop the player and to play good defense. And now let's see diagram 10. And now you see, this I like two to do. This is for me very good. Player two and player one will move in basketball stance. They are making passes. And now you are teaching for your point guard to punish closeout. And you are teaching player two how to defend closeout. I will say why. Many times when I'm working with my players, they want to defend closeout that they are waiting in the place, what is easier. No, in closeout, we need to go close to the player with the ball and try to stop. So after the third pass, player one will play one-on-one against player two. This we can do that maybe they are in the corner and they are moving up from the side. And very important with point guard, you must to do that kind of drills that everything they are doing in that area of the court where point guards usually playing. This is very important.
Yeah.
We can go for the next one.
Yes.
Next one is everything is the same. Just now you have one dribble and pass. So again, we are doing three passes, but we like point guards that they are, you know, dribbling the ball and without catching, giving the pass. And this is the same too. So player one making one dribble pass. So three passes, player two, two. And, you know, after the dribble, without catching two hands, you are giving the pass. Again, you can do this from different angles. This is, I think, again, very useful drill. We can go for next one. Next one, for example, let's see that if the coach is saying right, then this means that a player who is on the right side, so player one will be the offensive player. The coach will throw in the ball. Player one gets the ball. Player two will run like this, that he's touching the low post position and playing defense. Mm-hmm. So there are some specific drills. There are a lot of specific drills. Most of them I am using, not just in youth categories, even with my senior teams too.
Mm. No, very interesting, coach. And yeah, that's the fun thing about it, about sharing knowledge and experience, because yeah, we teach the same topics, but we all use different drills or yes. or tension points. Like this one is a great example. And I will definitely look into it more in detail and yeah, implement some of your stuff, coach. So thanks for sharing your drills with us.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So for the guys who are listening on Spotify, just know that Coach Hunor just showed us some diagrams on our screen. So if you are interested in looking into it, please check our episode on Facebook or on YouTube. Oh, and we're back in the normal setup. No, coach, I think we had a great conversation today. Maybe one more question, because we love to share knowledge. You have been a participant in the EuroLeague Head Coach Coaches Board Academy. How was that? What can you share about it?
You can check even. There was a promo video when I was talking about it. And I can say just shortly what I said on that promo video, that I changed a lot of countries. But when I saw this program, what is offering, then I was thinking this will be my biggest journey in my coaching development. And I was right. You get not just classes from EuroLeague head coaches and EuroCup head coaches. You will get for some specific fields from mm-hmm. science. And I wanted to say for you that there were teachers from the Belgrade University. And I enjoyed a lot, even those classes, what was not basketball, maybe it was nutrition, maybe it was physical preparation. I was feeling the energy from the teachers that they wanted to give for you something. So I wanted to say for you, they are really choosing those people who are passionate, who are great in that field of science. Mm-hmm. And you know, when came during April, May, June, the EuroLeague head coaches that I enjoyed a lot, some classes were for me, like it was five seminars. I had great time with my wife in my summertime in Turkey. We are on summer vacation and I had the classes. Mm-hmm. And you know, in hotel, everybody drinking, eating, and they see bold guys coming there with the laptop every day. And they are looking at me like with headset, he's listening something. So I wanted to say for you that, okay, I like a lot basketball, but even in summer vacation, there is the seaside, there is the pool, you have good food in hotel, you want to rest after a season. But I not wanted to let no one classes. And very good that they understand that we are coaches, we are working. If you are there, you have opportunity to watch it later online. So if you not have time, in Central European time, if I could remember, every class was around 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. If you are not able to watch it, you can watch it later online. I think we had some 1 month possibility to watch it. And very important that you can ask. It's a great thing that you can ask and everybody will answer. If there is no time, you can leave your questions and they will send the answers. And they were choosing, I think, around 100, 110, 120 coaches around from 40 countries. I think globally is great thing for basketball that you are sharing knowledge in 40 countries. These coaches will for sure share knowledge in the club, maybe some seminars, maybe online, what we are now talking. I think it's great thing. Mm-hmm. And I can say just good thing about it. We had some coaches that somebody is more experienced, somebody is no, somebody is coming from a high level basketball, somebody from low level, somebody is a senior basketball coach, somebody is a youth basketball coach. I think that is for everybody. It's a great opportunity. Now is the second year. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it will be. I hope that it will be many years more because our goal is that to develop basketball in every part of the world. And I think you need to grab your chance. When I saw this last year, then I said for myself, I need. And really great opportunity, great professionalism. So I think everything organized well. So I can say just all the best about the program. For me, the best program in Europe and in the world too, and best program forever. Maybe somebody is saying no, but this is my opinion.
Okay. No, thanks for sharing. It's very interesting because Mike and I were looking into it a few months ago. So maybe one day we will be there. So thank you for sharing. Yeah, thank you. Coach, it was a great conversation. It was really nice and really fun talking basketball with you, both on your previous career aspects, but also the fun part of the basketball topic, developing players on position one. So thanks for sharing all that. I wish you a great weekend and a good finish of the season.
And hopefully we see you in Belgrade at the Final Four. So
yes, I hope too. So guys, I have a message for you too.
Yeah, sure.
I hope too that I can see you in Final Four.
Okay. We will keep in touch, Coach. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.